The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Some Pharisees approached Jesus and tested him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever?" He said in reply, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate.'" They said to him, "Then why did Moses command that the man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her?" He said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If that is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." He answered, "Not all can accept this word, but only those to whom that has been granted. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so. Some, because they were made so by others. Some, because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Gosh, it's been forever since I've seen you last. No day off yesterday for me, but I'm still going. Tiny little thought for you here for the day that I hope you find helpful. Perfect love is never realized in this life. That's what heaven's all about. But perfect love is never realized in this life. However, it is anticipated in this life, and there's two big ways in which it's anticipated. It's anticipated in matrimony, and it's anticipated in celibacy. That's why Jesus talks about both of them here. Both are necessary. Both are sacred. Both are anticipations of a perfect love that you can set your heart on. You know, you read through the rest of the Bible and you come to the book of Revelation and you realize that the scriptures image the perfect bliss of heaven in matrimonial terms. The book of Revelation ends with a great big wedding between God and his people. That's one way in which matrimony anticipates that perfect love. However, you weren't made for an eternal union with a human person. That's why no union with any human person is ever enough for the depths of your soul. You were made for God, and that is what celibacy anticipates. Okay, so now this reading we just heard, this comes up, I think, 5 times a year, and for some funny reason, it always shows up on Friday. Okay, so I've talked about marriage many times before. Let me talk about celibacy a little bit here, because it's been several years since I've said a word about celibacy. Okay, first of all, celibacy is a mystery to people. It's too bad you can't shadow me around. You walk around town wearing a Roman collar. You know the conversations that will spring up. And you know, it's because of celibacy. It's a mystery to people. Do you know why it's a mystery? It's because sacredness is a mystery to people, and celibacy trumpets sacredness. It makes no sense at all, celibacy, apart from a Christian context, and apart from the reality of grace, and apart from the centrality of God in our lives. It makes no sense apart from that. You take it apart from that sense of centrality of God, and you get really well-intentioned people that try to make sense out of celibacy. It never quite works. For example, I was getting a haircut once, and I'm sitting in the barber's chair. And the barber spent the entire time cutting my hair. It can be a long time, okay, cutting my hair. Spent the entire time telling me about how celibacy was invented in the Middle Ages by this pope and that king and that emperor, and they were trying to control the clergy. And he was going on and on. I kept nodding. I said, "Really? Oh, okay, that's very interesting." I kept nodding. I think by the end of the haircut, he was really embarrassed. He gave me the haircut for free, right? But I mean, it made no sense. He was trying to understand it in a purely human context. Here's the most common purely human context in which to understand celibacy. People say, well, you see, the reason why the priest doesn't get married is, well, see, that way he can take evening appointments. And that way he can go to the hospital and he can, you know, run off someplace in the middle of the night. And that's not the reason for celibacy, amigos. That might be one of the consequences of celibacy, but that's not the reason for it. It doesn't make sense in a merely human context. I'll give you an analogy to, maybe this will help make sense. Suppose a man announces his engagement to a lady. Let's say her name is Susie, okay? And he stands, I'm going to be engaged to Susie, he says. Now, how stupid would it be if someone said back to him, you're going to what? You're going to be engaged to Susie? How can you say no to every other girl in the world? That would be a pretty dumb thing to say if someone were announcing their engagement, because it's perfectly clear when you're being engaged that it's not about who you're saying no to, right? It's about who you're saying yes to. That's what makes the whole thing make sense. Celibacy only makes sense in that exact same context. You see, celibacy isn't so much about an absence as it is about a presence. It's really not so much about a renunciation as it is about an anticipation. You can almost think about it as being like announcing your engagement, okay? Because here's the thing. Our church teaches celibacy is a gift. And there's two ways in which it's a gift. First way in which it's a gift is to the one who's called to it, believe it or not, okay? Now, marriage is the greatest good in the whole world. When I do a marriage, there's a line from the rite that says, matrimony is the one good that was not forfeited by original sin or washed away in the flood. It's the greatest good in the whole world. However, I hope you'll agree with me here on this Friday morning in church that there's something even greater. And that something is your union with God. You see, all of us were created to cling to God with an undivided heart. What our church teaches is that celibacy makes that clinging easier. It makes it easier. That's not saying anything against marriage, okay? Don't misunderstand. However, you don't really have to imagine too hard to realize that a celibate life sure does make it simpler, sure does make it easier, and it's true. That's why it's a gift to the one who receives it, right? The purpose of life, clinging to God with an undivided heart, becomes simpler and clearer. It's like walking a straight, flat road. But it's also a gift to the whole world. And the reason for that is, well, it's intuitive. Whenever you see a priest or a nun, you see, maybe you see him walking down the street, maybe you see him on television. At some point in your heart, it's perfectly clear what they gave up, right? Plain as the nose on your face, what they gave up. But what's also happening at that same moment you realize that is that in somewhere in your soul, you're realizing the only reason they gave that up is it was because of God. Every single celibate person in the world, you know, in their collar or in their habit, reminds the world that God comes first. And don't we need to be reminded of that? We need to be reminded badly of that. It's a source of spiritual fruitfulness. It's a gift to the whole wide world. That's what celibacy is all about. I hope that makes sense. When our Lord spoke these words to the scribes and the Pharisees, he shocked his audience because he elevated matrimony to a level that nobody had ever done before, ever. And they weren't prepared to accept the challenges that would entail. And he introduced a brand new way of life, celibacy, with its obvious challenges. Two ways of life, impossible by human strength alone, only possible by grace. And for the grace to remain faithful to what we've been called to, let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Stephen of Hungary, pray for us.